For our reading this morning, may we turn together to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4.
Brate našao da se pročita sa Božjom pomoći iz Evanđelja po Marku, četvrta glava. Prvi 29 brojeva.
We'll read the first 29 verses with the Lord's help. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was come up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear, shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May we all bow before the Lord in prayer. God is unchanging, and his word is eternal. The hearts of men have need for him and his living truth and light to shine within our hearts, guide and direct us. And the words that Jesus brought to the crowds that were gathered on the seashore that day are just as applicable for us as we read them some 2,000 years after they were first uttered. Jesus reveals to the disciples after he shares this parable of the sower with the crowds that he had revealed a mystery of the kingdom of God to these people through this parable. There was something hidden that people did not readily recognize, but we are given that we might take hold of in this parable. And that is how we might be a part of the kingdom of God. John the Baptist told those who came to his baptism, do not say that you have Abraham as a father. Do not come to the word with an assumption that somehow by accident or by heritage and family credentials that you or I could enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus reveals unto us what is of utmost importance and what is of great relevance in coming into the kingdom of God, and that being our very hearts. And the word tries our hearts. It tries our hearts perfectly because it demands of us everything. And Jesus, in his wisdom and knowing our hearts and their great need, illustrates for us the conditions that our hearts can be in, and what the consequences of the condition of our heart will be. This is the springtime, when the seeds are sown, when the word is shared, when hope is extended, and Jesus Christ is preached for us to receive. And there is coming a fall time when there will be a harvest of men's souls and the fruit that has developed as a result of the word. This word can bring great joy, great fruitfulness. It can also bring great offense and hardness. We can see within our hearts as we consider and as we reflect upon these grounds that Jesus used to illustrate the heart of men. And we can perhaps identify with a time when we heard or read and it seemed as though there was no benefit. That was Satan taking away the word from our heart. We can identify with the description of the stony heart in times when we have been ashamed to testify, to stand out as a light in this world, to be different, to be a peculiar people. We can easily identify with the thorny ground at times when our lives are filled with the numerous cares and concerns that this world offers, with the busyness and the drive to get ahead and to be worried and occupied in the things that this world can offer, leaving the Word of God behind for a more convenient season. And thank the Lord, we can also identify those who are God's children through faith at times of fruitfulness that the Word has in our lives when we, it's often at times of great difficulty or an acknowledgement of our need for the Lord when we trust and depend and surrender our will and we see that the Lord brings forth fruit. If that is the I believe our hearts can be a mix of these responses as we reflect. One word of encouragement. We see the fruitfulness that is given. Some give 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. You look back at life and you do not see 100. And perhaps you think, well, maybe I'm just not one of those 100. I'm not one of those 100 Christians. Why? You have the breath of life within you. You have the Word of God before you. And God is not done looking for service and fruit from your life. Do not think that the days that have gone by completely describe the fruitfulness that God is expecting. God is looking for fruit today. And through the week, should God give us life and tarry. Do not become despondent and say, maybe I'm just a 15 or a 10 because I look back and I do not see so much. But look to the Word. He is not done with His children. He is not done when we have the breath of life within us to be fruitful for His kingdom. And maybe we see within our hearts the reality of the descriptions that are given. What should we do? What is the course of action? What is the prompting of the Spirit to your heart and to my heart as we read the Word? Is it accurate? Does it accurately describe what has been going on as we come to hear the Word and as we go to live it out? Wherever our hearts fall upon these different grounds and the descriptions that Jesus accurately brings to us, if it is not the good ground, then it needs to change. Our hearts need to be changed. They need to be transformed. Ezekiel writes of these things as he prophesied and brought the word of the Lord and foreshadowed the times of Jesus coming and sharing the word and bringing his salvation. At a time when the children of Israel were cast out from their nation, Ezekiel chapter 11. Therefore say, the Lord was directing Ezekiel to tell the people, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. There is so much that we can glean as we see the similarities between the prophecy of the Old Testament and what Jesus has said. There is a heart, and there is a ground that is beaten down and compacted as a wayside, as a sidewalk where people frequent and they walk over it without any care and concern. These are those who do not believe. These are you of our loved ones who gather with us, who have not embraced the Word of God. We are talking about your heart. Jesus is talking about your heart. He has made your heart. He has created you and formed you for His glory and for His honor. And there is someone trespassing on that property. And he is your enemy. And you have let him in. And you need someone who is stronger than that enemy to cast him out. Your enemy is Satan. And he has spoken lies to you. And he steals the word so that you can leave this place. You can pause from your reading, even if you do at home, and not get anything out of that experience. You need to be freed. There is someone who is trespassing on your heart, and you on your own cannot cast him out. You need the help of the Lord, one who is stronger to bind up, to step on the head of the serpent, as it were, and be your life and your victory. And the word that is preached, the word that is brought, is the one that testifies of a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord, who has come to free you from this one who has brought sin and deception into this world and speaks in your ear right now and says, you don't need to listen. You don't need to hear. Tell him, get thee behind me, Satan. What is your desire? What is your cry? Do you thirst for the righteousness of God and a closeness with him and the fellowship that he offers and the peace that he can give to your heart as you reconcile to him and with other men through repentance and faith? Seek the Lord. Ask him to be your help. Ask him to free you. Ask those who know the Lord, how can I do this? Help me. You need help. You need help because the task is this: take away all the detestable things thereof and the abominations thereof from thence. A heart that is giving room to Satan, giving room to temptations and entertaining them and enjoying them, the word will be of no effect because there will always be something more interesting. But take those things away by the help of the Lord, so that you might receive the word and become a good ground and become fruitful servant of His. Ezekiel says, the Lord says to Ezekiel, I will give them one heart and will put a new spirit within you. Is there not a spirit that is at work in the world? A spirit of busyness, a spirit of being preoccupied. That is also our enemy. A spirit of the cares, of the things of this life, that put themselves above God and all the things that are called God. That is a spirit that is at work in this world. And He knocks on hearts. He peeks through windows. He tries to climb over some other way. And He is often successful. But God says, I will put a new spirit within you. Who is at work? At the construction site of your heart and my heart, which spirit is at work? Which spirit has been given entrance and been given a place? We notice that Ezekiel, the Lord says, I will give them. So what does our prayer and our cry to the Lord need to be? Lord, provide. Jesus calls us. He is pleading for us to follow Him, and He tells us that He will provide everything that is needed for this journey of faith. Ask Him. David had a prayer, and as we consider these grounds, I believe that there is something that there's a response that the Lord is looking for. And it is not one that you would leave from this place with a heart that is wanting to give up and feeling as though there is no hope. The heart that the Lord wants to nurture within us is one that is very simple. It sees the Word of God. It says, yes, this is true. And because it's true, I turn to the Lord and seek Him for my help, seek Him for everything, and ask Him to provide for me. David said these words, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Do you hear David crying out for a closeness with the walk with the Lord and wanting to draw closer to His presence? He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. May that be our prayer as we consider the grounds, consider our own heart. Consider, now what do we do? Now where do we go? Ezekiel was told that God would give them one heart. James tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so we need to desire and seek the Lord for one heart. One heart for the Lord. Not two hearts, where one is given to the Lord and one is given for the world. I will give them one heart. And there's a beauty in that, because there's a purity in devotion, there's a purity of the love and a singleness that's present in that heart. But it's also a common heart, is it not? For all those who would be pricked by this word and be instructed by the Spirit of God, that we would have one love. If we would have that one love and one focus and one goal for our life and walk with the Lord, that being Jesus Christ, that we would take up his cross, that we would deny ourselves and that we would follow him, would we not also help each other along the way and have that one heart and draw closer with one another? God says, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take out the stony heart of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. There is a stony heart that's described here, and it's not apparent in the springtime that the heart is stony. But there is one distinguishing characteristic, and it's only known to you and me. And that is, do I bear the root? Do I bear the root of the Word of God? Does it penetrate the character and the life and the days and the words? Maybe it is evident in time. We have been blessed with many examples that we can look back towards of faithfulness in times of persecution and an understanding that this depth of faith is a relevant and real concern for the children of God. Some will say, you just need to believe a few things that the Bible says. The Word of God is calling us to allow the Scriptures, what it teaches, how it gives us a pattern of Jesus Christ, to have a deeply penetrating effect on how our heart is constructed and where we trust and what we glory in. It's been said that those who are lowly are not afraid of losing. Those who are meek, those who follow the example of Jesus Christ in his heart and pattern ourselves after him, can go to the cross and can look to death as a gain, to be one with him at all times. This is the operation of God, to take out the stony heart from their flesh and give us a heart of flesh. That they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. We will belong to the Lord when we avail ourselves of the transforming power of God, his working in our hearts. And I believe that there is something beautiful in the grounds and a connection with one of the things that Jesus taught. We see the ground of the unbeliever, where they have no interest and Satan takes away the word immediately. But those who confess, let us remember these three things. There's a persecution that comes. There's trials. This is our cross. And Jesus described following him in this way. Take up your cross. There are things that allure and draw our attention towards things of the world. And they are attractive for this flesh. But Jesus says, deny yourself. And there is a ground that bears fruit to God's honor and His glory. And Jesus said, and follow me. Take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Jesus is speaking to our hearts to direct us that we would be able to pray with sincerity that the Lord's will would be done. Is it not the Lord's will to do these things in us? That we would bear much fruit. Remember what Jesus told us. He said, without me, you can do nothing. But herein is my Father glorified, that you abide in me, that you abide in His love, His love for you, His love for others, in a love for the Lord, and that you bear much fruit. Jesus told that to us. He instructs us as His disciples. And He reveals and opens a door. Everyone who is willing to gain an understanding and insight into what this parable means is given the key. And the Lord instructs us, use the key. Use the explanation that Jesus has given. And if you're willing, if you've counted the cost, open the door and enter in. May God bless His word.